Good morning and welcome to worship. Today, as many of you are aware, it is Mother's Day, and our cantor and organist, Chad Winterfeld, has been teaching a liturgy class this semester, and two of his students in the class had an assignment to design a worship service for today. So they used the principles of feminist liturgy in keeping with the theme of Mother's Day and put together the service that we will be participating in today. So just a heads up, there's a short description in your bulletin about how they were thinking about this service, and hopefully as we move through the service, you will sense their intent in the design of the service. I invite you to stand as we begin with our call to worship. We come together to thank the Creator of life. We come to praise God's holy name and to seek after God's ways. We come to be forgiven and to forgive. We come to be a community in God's love. We come, in short, to worship. Praise God, the source of all life.
The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Midwifing God, the prophet Isaiah declared that you are the one who delivers us. We remember that you are mother and father to all of us. All of us are your children. Mothering God, you bring forth new life in our midst. We honor the mothers around us and all who care and love children. Grandmother God, you comfort us in our time of grieving and sorrow. We remember our mothers and grandmothers who have passed on, for all those we miss on this day. Teaching God, you have taught us to honor our mothers and fathers and have taught us the ways of your love. We remember those who have been like mothers to us, giving wisdom and guidance in our lives. Creator God, we remember that we are all created in your image. We honor and respect all women in our midst, mothers, aunts, and sisters and friends. We honor and remember these great women, loving God, who you have sent into our lives. Mothering God, guide us into the honoring and respecting women around our world, working towards justice and liberation, health and safety for all women and girls. In the name of Christ, who like a mother hen desires to gather us together, we pray. Amen.
The good news from John, the 15th chapter. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The good news given for you.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This morning, we gather to celebrate Mother's Day within the context of a feminist liturgy project developed by two of our students, Carrie Luwagi and Kirsten Larson. This was an assignment for their liturgy class here at Gustavus this semester. As a daughter, mother, and Christian feminist, I am honored to be the preacher today for this service. The methods of Christian feminist preaching include three practices that I will utilize today. First, Christian feminist preaching remembers and tells the stories of women. Second, Christian feminist preaching promotes the emancipation of women. And third, Christian feminist preaching invites participation. Feminist preachers use their own voice to create space for as many voices as possible to contribute to the meaning-making process within the liturgy. And so we begin today with a story. The story of Mother's Day begins with two women, a mother, Anne Marie Reeves Jarvis, and her daughter, Anna Jarvis. The mother, Anne Maria Reeves Jarvis, was the daughter of a Methodist minister, the mother of 12 children, and a social justice activist committed to improving the lives of women and children through sanitation, community building, peacemaking, and reconciliation. Motivated by deep personal loss, 8 of her 12 children died before they reached the age of 10. And her Christian faith, Anne began organizing women in 1850s West Virginia to reduce child and infant mortality by inspecting food and milk supplies and raising money for medicine. As the Civil War broke out in 1861, Anne directed the network of women's clubs that she had founded to show compassionate action to both Union and Confederate soldiers. Regardless of their uniform, these women cared for wounded soldiers and provided food and clothing for anyone stationed in their area. When the war ended, Anne organized a series of annual Mother's Friendships Days to bring together soldiers and neighbors to work on the process of reconciliation and community building across political divides. When Anne died in May of 1905, her daughter, Anna Jarvis, was inspired to find a more public way to honor her mother. In 1908, Anna convinced her mother's home church in Grafton, West Virginia, and her own church in Philadelphia to be the first sites for public Mother's Day celebrations. She chose this May date as a memorial to her mother Anne's death. Daughter Anna's vision for the day was to celebrate her mother's commitment to improving the lives of her neighbors and communities, and to encourage all people to express gratitude to their own mother for all that she had done to support their life and well-being. After these first successful celebrations, Anna campaigned for national and international adoption of Mother's Day celebrations. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially declared the second Sunday in May to be designated as Mother's Day in the United States. Other nations quickly followed with their own official observations on a variety of different dates. If the story ended here, it would be a story with a very happy ending. Anna Jarvis, in memory of her amazingly faithful, determined, and compassionate mother, succeeded in her mission of convincing millions of people to set aside at least one day each year to recognize and give thanks for their moms. However, with the popularity of Mother's Day came its rising commercialization, and Anna herself became disillusioned by how the masses were observing the holiday, with gifts and greeting cards, candies, and flowers. And so, after a series of increasingly public protests, Anna was arrested in 1925 for disturbing the peace at a Mother's Day fundraising event in which carnations were being sold to raise funds for the American War Mothers Organization. Anna never had any children of her own, and she died broke after many years of fighting against the profit-making use of Mother's Day. Even though she is considered by many to be the mother of Mother's Day, Anna consistently maintained that it was her own mother, Anne Marie Reeves Jarvis, that was the true mother of Mother's Day. So why is it important to remember and tell this story today? The first reason is simple: because women's lives are important. By keeping this story alive in our memories, we affirm that the particularities and details of the ways in which women have impacted our world are worth knowing. The second reason is practical. Knowing this story will inform the way that we practice Mother's Day and may give today's celebrations and relationships greater purpose and meaning. Through this story, we learn that Mother's Day began in churches and was inspired by a mother committed to the flourishing of her own children and her neighbor's children, whose faith exemplified the kind of discipleship that Jesus described in our gospel reading this morning, and motivated her to be a peacemaker and community builder, whose love and compassion saw beyond blue and gray, north and south, Union and Confederate. And we discover that the daughter who successfully convinced a sitting United States president to create a national holiday intended for that day to be a day of connection and gratitude with no purchases required. Recalling the details of the development of Mother's Day also helps us to realize that this is not just a saccharine Hallmark holiday, but rather a day to explore womanhood in all of its complexity. Mother's Day was championed by a daughter who never became a mother. The story of the Jarvis women contains themes of suffering and service, faith and loss, war and peace, reconciliation and regret, commercialization and gratitude, and even life and death. And so, in a way, we can say that hearing this story sets us free. The second practice of Christian feminist preaching is that it promotes the emancipation of women. The story of Mother's Day frees us to speak truthfully about motherhood with all of its joys and challenges. It liberates us to bear witness to the awesome power women have to create new life from within their wombs and to speak openly and even from pulpits about the physical and emotional pain that often accompanies this process. Miscarriages, infertility, stillbirth, grief, anxiety, worry, bleeding, tearing, exhaustion. In order to speak truthfully about motherhood within our faith communities, we often must creatively reimagine the way in which we tell the Christian story. Poet, priest, and PhD Alla Renee Bozarth wrote a piece that shows us a way to do this work. She says, "Before Jesus, was his mother. Before supper in the upper room, breakfast in the barn. Before the Passover feast, a feeding trough. And here, the altar of earth, fair linens of hay and seed. Before his cry, her cry. Before his sweat and blood, her bleeding and tears. Before his offering, hers. Before the breaking of bread and death, the breaking of her body in birth. Before the offering of the cup, the offering of her breast. Before his blood, her blood. And by her body and blood alone, his body and blood, with the whole human being. The wise ones knelt to hear the woman's word in wonder. Holding up her sacred child, her God in the form of a babe, she said, "Receive, and let your hearts be healed and your lives be filled with love. For this is my body, this is my blood." Instead of extolling Mary for her virginity and humility, as has been the long-standing practice in the Christian tradition, Bozarth's poem invites us to infuse sacred meaning into the kinds of ordinary things that mothers do. Bleed, tear, feed, hold, nurture, wonder, and hope. This reimagining frees us from expecting our mothers to be perfect and pure, and instead allows us to offer and honor their often unseen and underappreciated life-giving actions. And so we give thanks. Anna Jarvis once said Mother's Day greeting cards were, quote, "a poor excuse for the letter you are too lazy to write." Her words may sound a bit harsh, as I am sure that many of us have already purchased cards for our mothers today. We may have even written some of our own heartfelt words in those cards. However, because of the third practice of Christian feminist preaching, being that it is participatory, I am going to give you the opportunity to write a short letter to your mother in memory of your mother if she has passed, or to someone who has been like a mother to you, an aunt, a teacher, a neighbor, a sister, a grandmother, or a mentor. To give you an example, and because my own mother is here today, I will end this sermon by possibly embarrassing my mom as I read my short letter from the pulpit. Roberta Lynn Anderson Dale, thank you for being my mother. I am grateful for all of your sleep-deprived nights and days filled with diaper changes, feedings, and rockings. Thank you for giving me the gifts of language and learning, for reading me stories and singing me songs, for driving me around to all my activities, and caring for me when I was sick. I am grateful for all of the opportunities you gave me to travel and explore the world. Thank you for helping me to become a responsible adult and for showing me how to be a mother to my own children. And thank you not just for loving me, but for dedicating your life to making the world a better place for many, many children. Through your teaching and ministry, your generosity and hospitality, and your feminist Christian faith and social justice commitments, you have promoted the flourishing of life in many families and communities. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. So now it is your turn. Tears are fine in this day, obviously. You will find paper and pens in your pews if you don't have one. There are some I can pass around. So some of you have a postcard or perhaps a greeting card. And Chad will play some music for us as we give you some time to write. And when it is time for us to continue our worship service with our hymn of the day, I will motion for you to stand. You are welcome to continue writing during the offering, during communion, and at home later today, and I offer you blessings for this day.
Thank you.
Please join. I believe in the living God, the parents of all humankind, who creates and sustains the universe in power and in love. I believe in Jesus Christ, God incarnate on earth, who showed us by his words and work, suffering with others, conquest of death, what human life ought to be, and what God is like. I believe that the Spirit of God is present with us now, always, and can be experienced in prayer, in forgiveness, in the Word, the sacraments, the community of the Church, and in all that we do. Amen. Let us pray. God of healing, as our campus brought special attention this week to the issues of suicide prevention and mental health awareness, we ask you to comfort all of those who continue to struggle with the darkest moments of their lives. Help each of us in this community to support those who struggle with mental illness and to let them know that they are not alone in their battles. Give us strength in connecting those in need to all of the resources available on campus and in acknowledging that asking for help is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of incredible courage. Lord of love, hear our prayer. As spring sports play their last games, as music ensembles perform this last year's concert, we are thankful for all of the organizations who have donated their time and talents to the Gustavus this year. We thank you for the coaches, directors, and coordinators who have helped our students and for the students themselves who pursue their passions. Please bless these organizations as they bring closure to this year's work and welcome them as they return next year. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We pray for the places in our world marred by chaos and violence. We pray for the health and safety of the over 11 million refugees displaced in 2014 alone, including those fleeing violence in Syria, Colombia, Iraq, and Sudan. We pray for the civilians of the Nigerian government who has recently rescued from the Boko Haram, as well as all those whose lives are threatened by violent extremism. For this and other struggles, we ask for your guidance. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Gracious God, as we celebrate mothers on this day, help us in honoring all of the women who care for your children. Regardless of relationship, we thank you for the women in our lives who nurture us, advise us, and inspire us. Even if our mothers are not physically here with us today, we feel their presence in the sustaining love and compassion that they have taught us. May we follow this example, and also the example of motherhood that you, in creating and nurturing the earth, have set for us. Amen. The peace of God is with you all, and also with you. Please share a sign of peace with each other.
invite you to please stand. Life-giving God, may you bless our gifts and let them go forth from us to the benefit of all your children with wisdom, compassion, and imagination. Amen. In the spirit of our liturgy today, I invite you to come forward and bring your bulletin with you. So please come forward at this time and we will form a circle around our communion table. May God be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to our God. Let us give thanks to our God, our help. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Holy One of blessing, we give you thanks for the lives and the ministries of women, for those who have gone before us, breaking new trails, and for those who stand beside us, giving us strength for the journey. For all faithful women, we give you thanks and praise. In our creation and through the waters of baptism, you have called us by name. We give you thanks for that call and for that naming, even as we lament our loss, the loss of the names of our four sisters in the faith, the loss of their stories of call and commitment, the loss of their ministries through rejection, betrayal, suppression, distortion, erasure, and silence. If we do not speak, let the very stones cry out. Like our sisters before us, we give you thanks above all for the gift of your beloved child, Jesus. He too knew rejection, conflict, and suppression. His ministry too has been distorted, his gospel of liberation silenced. If we do not speak, let the very stones cry out. For on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and said, "Take and eat. Whenever you do this, do in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup and saying, "This is the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." If we do not speak, the very stones cry out. Remembering Jesus, therefore, and remembering the women who bear witness to him, we offer these gifts of bread and wine ourselves, giving you thanks that in spite of betrayal and silence and death, you brought forth hope and life and power. Send the power of your strong spirit upon these gifts and upon us who are gathered here. Empower us to break the silence, to tear, to tell and hear our stories, to live in the struggle for the fulfillment of hope and the restoration of all things, so that in all things we may give you praise and thanksgiving through your child, Jesus Christ, with your holy and strong spirit, now and always. Amen. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in all the earth, holy is your truth. May your wisdom come, your circle be one, uniting heaven and earth. Give us today a nurturing spirit. Heal through us as we ourselves are healed. Lead us into fullness of life and liberate all that is good. For the wisdom, the power, and the glory, presence and the goodness are yours. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and you are the people of God. All are welcome. Let us pray. Gracious God, generous mother of life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into a new creation. Amen. I invite you to please take your seat as we continue with our ascending hymn. And remain standing.
May the God of all compassion and nurturing strengthen you to live in harmony with one another
in accordance with Christ Jesus. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The God of all grace bless you now and forever. Amen. The only announcement that I have this morning is that next Sunday is our last service in Christ Chapel for the school year, aside from baccalaureate, but our last gathering of our Sunday worshiping community at 10:30 will be next week. So thank you all for being here this week, and have a good week. People of God, go in peace and faith, for nothing can separate you from the love and source of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.